It's time for Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is being brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Prues.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to our show, Fairbanks Foodies, on this slightly chilled Saturday afternoon. What the heck? We've had some weather here the last month and a half, I'd say. Anyway, on Fairbanks Foodies, we go over recipes to try, restaurants to visit, beverages to create, wonderful events that are happening at Fairbanks, food to share with your family and friends. Basically, we look at all types of food, food concepts you can try, enjoy, and experience. Fairbanks Foodies is the original Saturday local production show, your OG in the local radio Saturday entertainment lineup that we bring you here at KFAR every Saturday. The lineup on Saturday has grown and expanded. Wow. We have a fantastic lineup for you, all of the local talent of so many subjects. On Saturdays, there is definitely something for everyone on these shows. And I want to thank Craig Campo for opening the afternoon for me. He's the JV team, and he's enjoying himself in sunny Mexico right now, and here we are in Fairbanks, Alaska. And he left right after Thanksgiving, so he missed this whole stretch. So when he gets back, he's a good friend of mine. I will hurt him for all of us because he needs to be hurt for such sacrilege. Anyway, let's get on with our show. You know, I was thinking, we all have a spice rack. We all have go-tos. And I'm, you know, my mom was Italian, so my go-to is Mediterranean. So what we're going to do over the next 3 to 4 weeks is visit different spice regions of the world and their spice variations and what they're used for cooking for in the Western populations. I mean, we are America, so everyone, we get a little bit of everyone for everything. My God, Indian from the continent of India, North African, Caribbean, Thai, American Southwest, Spanish, we get it all. But today is the one that I use the most. You know, my mom was Italian. I grew up with those flavors. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over the different spices, what they're used for, how they're used, what their basis, and then throw a few recipes at you. And then we'll do it. And we'll do similar things that were coming weeks. Now, it's January. This is the football season, playoffs. So we're going to do one show, you know, about a week out from the Super Bowl. We're going to do a Super Bowl munchy food show. We'll get that in too. And anyway, have some new ideas for us all over the new year. Now, I love basil. The first one we're going to go to is basil. We have basil, parsley, oregano, salt, onion powder, black pepper, garlic powder, paprika, saffron, and lemon zest. So those are the different spices we're going to talk about today. So basil, it's a fragrant herb from the mint family, believe it or not. Mint. It's prized in cuisines worldwide for sweet, peppery flavor, essential in Italian pesto, Thai dishes, and tomato sauces, offering antioxidants and vitamins, thriving in hot, sunny conditions, and known for its distinctive aroma. Now, I went to google.com and looked these things up, so I didn't go to Wikipedia. I went to Google. I'm a Google boy. It's a tender, warm season, annual in temperate climates, cultivated in aromatic leaves, which are best used in fresh but can be dried, and comes in many varieties like sweet, Thai, and lemon basil. You know, in the summer, I have about 4 different styles of basil grown on my deck. I grow herbs. I don't grow roots. I don't do tomatoes. I don't do onions. I don't do cucumbers. I do herbs, and basil is always there. The flavor profile ranges from sweet and clove-like, which is sweet basil, to ants-like or Thai lemony basil. You can make these in key ingredients of pesto, caprese salad, Pasta sauces, oh God, yes. Oh God, yes. Pizza and curries, its best use added at the end of cooking to preserve the flavor. Dried basil loses much of its aroma. So, you know, summer, that's why I have four tables out there. Oh my goodness. So anyway, basil tastes sweet, savory, and peppery with hints of mint ants, because it is a mint ants or licorice, depending on the variety. It's aromatic and fresh, adding a complex, slightly spicy warm of dishes, but dried basil loses much of its nuanced flavor, becoming more one-dimensional. Sweet basil offers a balanced profile of peppery and minty notes. And remember, you can go to Fred Meyer's and just get the fresh basil leaves. They're not like freshly grown, but they're as fresh as we're going to get this winter at minus 30 below. So go do it. Now, another Mediterranean herb that I use a lot, I love. This is probably the biggest one besides salt and pepper, is oregano. I love oregano. Now, there's your Mexican oregano or your Mediterranean, Italian, Greek oregano. And it's a species of flowering plant in the mint family. Again, the mint family. It's native to the Mediterranean region, but widely naturalized elsewhere in temperate northern hemisphere. Oregano is a woody perennial plant grown up to 35 inches tall with leaves in about a half inch to an inch and a half as long. The flowers of which can be white, pink, light purple, or green, and they're produced in erect spikes in the summer. It is sometimes called wild marjoram. While its close relative is margarina, it is known to be a sweet marjoram. Both are widely used in culinary herbs, such as especially in Turkey's, Greek, Spanish, Italian, Latin, and French cuisine. Oregano is also an ornament plant with numerous cultivations for varying leaf color, flower, and habit. Oh, boy, I love oregano. I mean, anyway, so let's look at parsley. Ooh. Parsley is a popular biennial herb from the Mediterranean, known for its vibrant green leaves, used fresh or dried as a garnish, and savoring in many cuisines, offering vitamins A, C, and K, plus antioxidants, with flat-leaf Italian, having a stronger taste than curly leaf. Key issues include adding fresh flavor of soups, salads, meats, and sauces while it's nutritional. Now, something that we should know is, where does Mediterranean cooking come from? It comes from southern France, eastern Spain, Greece, and Italy. So those are the regions that we're looking at. So far we've looked at basil, oregano, and parsley. Now you have the Italian flat-leaf parsley. It leaves a stronger, more tangy flavor and used more in cooking, whereas the curly French curly leaf leaves a milder flavor, often used as a garnish. And it's grown for its edible parsnip-like roots and leaves. Now, a friend of my dad's, he used to, whenever he got parsley on his plate at a restaurant, the first thing he would do is eat the parsley because he said it opened up his taste buds better to have the other foods and everything like that. I've never done that. I didn't see my dad do that, but I might try that sometime just because we can. Now, parsley originates in the Eastern Mediterranean or Southern Europe, Western Asia, growing in wild stalks, rocks, and cliffs. The name deriving from the Greek protislion or rock celery, used since antiquity by Greeks and Romans for food, medicine, and wreaths. Became popular across Europe in the Middle Ages and was later brought to the Americas by colonists. Oh, it's used in seafood, grilled meats, Mediterranean salads, soups, roasted veggies, and herbs and sauces. And out on my deck is always Italian parsley, oregano, and basil. So then we look at what we always use, salt. And if you go to Fairbanks Foodies, and you know, I encourage that, go to KFARradio.com, look up the audio archives, under Fairbanks Foodies. And I think it was like April of 2024, I did a show just on salt, on the variations of different types and where it's from. So this is not, this is going to be a pretty, a pretty contained description from that. Salt, primarily sodium chloride, is a vital mineral for nerve and muscle function, flavor, and food preservation. But excessive intake is linked to high blood pressure. It is harvested from the mines or sea evaporation and used in the food industry, de-icing, and even medicine, with adults advised to limit intake or under 6 grams daily through most of the consume, much more in processed foods. Ooh. So it's necessary in small amounts, but excess leads to hypertension, heart disease, and stroke. Most people consume far more than needed, and mainly from processed foods. I always buy unsalted butter. That allows me to control the salt content in my foods. Last time I bought unsalted butter was yesterday. Bought the full, you know, 4 blocks in the brick there. Now it's used in flavoring, binding, stabilizing food preserves. The industry uses it in de-icing roads chemical. It's great in barbecue. It's, one more time, it's great in barbecue. You know, you have table salt, sea salt, rock salt, and hidden sources. And their difference is their grain style. And anyway, yesterday I bought some sea salt because I put that in my salt grinder. And I can control more of the salt distribution and the grain. If it's a finish, you know, I'm putting salt on something at the end that I'm going to eat immediately, I use the sea salt style. If I'm cooking with it, with my grinder, I get it more of a finer tune if I'm going to cook with it, because that allows more penetration into the meat. So anyway, rock salt, mined from the ancient seabeds, is often used for de-icing. Kosher salt, coarse grain, good for seasoning. Iodized is a table salt with added iodine and iodine and thyroid health. Ooh. So anyway, then we go to black pepper. Oh my goodness, peppers are so much fun. It's a flowering vine in the family of Piper. I'm going to screw up this word, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Piperacea, cultivated for its fruit, the peppercorn, which is usually dried and used as a spice and seasoning. Pepper is a fruit. The fruit is a drupe stone fruit, which is about 5 millimeters or 1/4 inch in diameter, fresh mature, dark red, and contains a stone which encloses a single pepper seed. Peppercorns and the ground pepper derived from them may be described simply as pepper, or more precisely, black pepper. Cooked and dried, unripe fruit. Green pepper, dried, unripe fruit, or white pepper, ripe fruit seeds. And white pepper is the hot one. Black pepper is a native to the Southeast and South Asia. Ground, dried, and cooked peppercorns have been used since antiquity, both for flavor and traditional medicine. Black pepper is one of the most commonly traded spices in the world. Its spices is due to the chemical compound piperine, which is a different kind of spiciness from that of capsaicin characteristic or chili peppers. Oh, okay. Chili peppers are a fruit or a vegetable. We'll figure that out later. It is ubiquitous. That's a big word for me. And again, I'm reading things from Google. It is ubiquitous in the Western world as a seasoning and is often paired with salt and available on dining tables in shakers or mills. I always have mine in a mill, and that way I can control the density of when it comes out onto the food. And I even cook with peppercorns itself, depending on what I'm going to do. And a fresh ground pepper is so floral, flavorful. You got to do it. You got to get a pepper grinder. Now, the word pepper derives from Old English piper, or Latin piper, and Greek. The Greek likely derives from the Dravidian, not the Davidian, the Dravidian, papali, meaning of long pepper. In the 16th century, people began using pepper to also mean the New World chili pepper, which is not closely related. The pepper plant is a perennial woody vine, grows up to 4 meters or 13 feet in height, in supporting trees, poles, things like that. It is a spreading vine, root readily where trailing stems touch the ground. Oh my goodness. So anyway, black pepper is produced from a still green unripe drupe of the pepper plant. The drupes are cooked briefly in hot water, both to clean them and prepare them for drying. So it's a prep for the drying. The heat ruptures the cell walls of the pepper, accelerating enzymes that cause browning during drying. The pepper drupes can also be dried in the sun by machine or several days, during which the pepper skin or seed sinks to the darkens into a thin wall, wrinkled black layer containing melanonin. Once dry, the spice is called a black peppercorn. And after the peppercorns are dried, pepper powder used for culinary uses is obtained by crushing the berries, which may also yield an essential oil by extraction. And I like putting them in my mortar and pestle. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here from Fairbanks Foodies, and we'll be back after these messages.
Looking for bold flavors, friendly faces, and a place that just feels right? Welcome to Humble Roots Beer Project, the newest craft brewery in Fairbanks. Located at 314 Wendell Avenue, mere steps from the heartbeat of downtown, from crisp lagers to hoppy IPAs and smooth stouts, there's a pour for every palate. Join us in our laid-back tap room. Grab a fresh crowler to go. Come see what's brewing at Humble Roots Beer Project. Stay stoked on local.
Bobby's Downtown is more than fine dining. It's a way of life. We welcome everyone and look forward to serving you. Whether you're in your Carhartts or your evening gown or tux, yes us. This is Rena from Bobby's Downtown. Come in and have an unforgettable dining experience. The Art Deco interior strikes a balance between casual and fine dining. Whether you're in the mood for pizza or prime rib, you'll find it at Bobby's Downtown. Open late Friday and Saturday nights, always non-smoking, on the corner of 2nd and Barnett.
Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West, with the largest selection of cigars in Alaska and an awesome tasting room where you can kick back and enjoy a smoke with your friends in comfy leather chairs watching the game on a big screen. That's Rat Pack Cigar, with an incredible humidor filled with almost 150 varieties of cigars of the highest quality. Rat Pack Cigar, open 11 to 7, 7 days a week on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. It's the all-new Rat Pack Cigar.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Enjoying the show, I hope. You know, it's cold outside, so I thought I'd bring us magically to the Mediterranean, where it's sunshiny right now, averaging 65 above, you know, doing those sort of things. And don't hate me too much. But food is wonderful. Food is plentiful. Food is flavorful. And I'm giving you where we're getting the food flavors from. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Now, one thing I grew up with was garlic. I love garlic. You know, oregano, garlic. I don't use as much basil as I used to, but I always use garlic. I'm always buying garlic bulbs. I got garlic salt. I got granulated garlic. I got powdered garlic. I live for garlic. If I don't have garlic about every 4 to 5 days, I start going through withdrawals of garlic. Thank you, Mom, for doing that. She's Italian. We love garlic, garlic bread. Oh, I love garlic. And you can get garlic here in town easily. Now, garlic powder is a spice that is derived from dehydrated garlic using the cooking flavor enhancement. Now, garlic is an onion, so it's a root. It is, you know, simple as that. The process of making garlic powder includes drying and dehydrating the vegetable. It's a vegetable. Then powdering it through machinery or home-based appliances, depending on the scale of production. Garlic powder is a common component in a spice mix. It is also a common component of seasoned salt. So, hey, Lawry's, you know, there it is. There are two types of garlic species, soft neck and hard neck. Hard neck garlic varieties are believed to have more flavorful than soft neck garlics. Oh, man. Characterized by the spicy, more complex taste than other garlic standards. While hardneck garlics flourish in cold weather due to their extensive time in vernalization, softnecks seemingly grow better in warmer climates. To distinguish between a hardneck and a softneck garlic is done through the presence of a scape flower stalk. The garlic species most commonly used for is a softneck variety. Due to their less complex scent and taste, the softneck species are more suited for garnish or spice in dishes and also have a longer storage life than the hardneck varieties. Garlic cloves thrive when planted in mid-autumn in a location with plentiful sunlight. In tropical areas, garlic is successfully grown when planted in the autumn, maturing early summer, and is planted in later autumn and cooler areas to be harvested in late summer. The larger bulbs are split and inserted into the soil around 4 to 6 inches apart and 3 inches deep, with the pointy end facing upwards. Softneck and hardneck garlic are planted identically. However, softnecks are more suited for warmer climates. Garlic cloves are peeled and sliced. In most cases, the garlic is heated to temperature between 150 and 160 degrees. The water is removed to moisten the content, about 6.5%. The dehydrated garlic is further sliced, chopped, or minced until the powder is reduced to its desired particle size. Manufacturing garlic powder on a larger scale involves various steps, from extraction of the garlic bulbs to packaging and final powder. Oh, my goodness. The regions are approximately 300 types of garlic produced worldwide. Garlic market regions include North America, California, the Garlic Festival, Europe and Asia Pacific, with China, which produces the largest amount of garlic. There are 5 main provinces with the garlic is, anyway, China. I don't care about China. But I love their food. How it's made. Dehydration, fresh onions, which is garlic, are sliced, dried until brittle, sometimes toasted for a deeper flavor. Grinding, the dried onions are then finely ground into powder. Variations can be made from the whole onions. Yeah, so there you go. Onions, powder, garlic powder, all in the same if you take a look at it. Now here's an interesting one for you. Paprika. Oh, I'm really starting to enjoy paprika. Now, paprika is a vibrant spice made from dried and ground red peppers, ranging from sweet to spicy, used to flavor the color in many cuisines, especially Hungarian, Spanish, and Mexican. Your Hungarian sweet paprika, your Spanish, your Mexican, also offers nutrients like vitamin A and antioxidants. While paprika also refers to the Recipe Manager app and acclaimed films. Ooh. Paprika is made from dried and ground red peppers, from mild bell peppers to hot chilies, all belonging to the Capsicum annuum species. Hey, I don't read well Latin, and especially scientific Latin, but so bear with me. How it's made. Peppers are dried, sometimes with seeds and stalks included for hotter varieties, just like bell peppers, just like chili peppers. You leave the seeds in, it be hotter, my friend. Flavor profiles varies by pepper types, from mild and sweet, often from the fruity only, or spice to spicy, or even smoky with smoked peppers. So in my cabinet, my spice racks, I have sweet, smoked, general, Hungarian, I love paprika. I'm really enjoying paprika and where it takes me in flavor profiles. Okay. Uses a staple of Hungarian dishes like goulash or Hungarian mushroom soup. That's one of my favorites in the world. And Spanish cooking as a colorful garnish for eggs, potatoes, meats, or paella, or seafoods. Seafoods, I'm going to give you a recipe here if we have enough time at the end of the show. And the nutritional benefits of paprika are rich in vitamin A, iron, antioxidants. Oh, boy. So, and then, of course, we have lemon zest. And again, lemon zest is a bright yellow outer layer of lemon's peels packed with aromatic essential oils. Provide intense citrus flavor without the bitterness of the white pith underneath. Oh, the white stuff. Used to enhance baked goods, drinks, sauces, desserts, or your barbecue aspects. You know, if you got a good barbecue flavor profile, you're going to have lemon zest in there. Simple as that. Anyway, here we go. You make a good marinade, you have lemon zest in it. And then our final spice is saffron. Very, very uncommon. And the reason is, it's the world's most expensive spice, derived from the stigma of the Crocus sativus flower. Now, I think I got that correct. Crocus sativus. Prized for its distinct floral, earthy flavor, vibrant golden color, and dishes like paella, risotto, biryani, while used in traditional medicine for mood, sleep, and cognitive health due to antioxidants like cronin and safranol. Saffron threads, stigmas, are carefully collected and dried, lending their unique taste and color to both savory and sweet recipes. Those used sparingly due to its cost and then can interact with certain medications. What does saffron taste like and how does it use? The flavor is complex, slightly bitter, subtly sweet, with hints of honey, hay, and earthiness to become more pronounced when steeped. Color is a beautiful golden yellow hue of foods. It is. I've never cooked with saffron, so I got to try it this summer. In cooking, use sparingly in rice dishes, risotto, biryani, paella, soups with cebulia base, chicken, fish, desserts. Pairing goes well with cumin, coriander, mint, nuts, milk, and cardamom. Oh, the health benefits are antioxidants, rich in antioxidants. So, anyway, it's expensive, requires thousands of flowers for a small amount, making it the most costly spice. Ancient history, cultivated for millennia in Eurasia, used as a dry perfume, medicine, and seasoning by ancient Greeks, Romans, and Chinese. Now it's produced very well in Spain, hence a Mediterranean. Oh, boy. So, that is your Mediterranean spice profile, what they are. How many do you grow out on your deck? You know, I grow the basils, I grow the oregano, I grow the parsley. But, you know, another one that I use is tarragon, but that's not a coastal. That is not a coastal. That is a north. That is an interim middle France to western France near Normandy, that sort of area. So, anyway. But I love tarragon, too. So, what I hope you're getting is a good flavor profile to branch out and discover. Look at something and think about, oh, I might do this. I might try it this way. Be bold. Be brave. Be a Fairbankson. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I will see you next Saturday. You have a great day.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales.